Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Go there, and you can download these programs for free, put them on your iPod, put them on CD, listen to them, make notes, open your Bible and read along with it, whatever you like to do. But we hope you study with an open Bible. Also, we have a web address, paulsevangel.com. And if you go to either one of those websites, Cross and Throne or Paul's Evangel, it takes you to the same place. And you get all the goodies there that we make available, the concordant version of the New Testament and the concordant commentary in the New Testament. By the way, if you have these two tools, it'll save you thousands of dollars of seminary costs. And we hope you do that. Today, my guest is Mr. Martin Zender.
It is a privilege to be with all of you. Dan, thanks for having me.
No problem. It's good to have you. We are discussing, as you listen, we're doing a series here, taking a little break from Ephesians, because my friend Martin here is with me in the Chicago area as we are discussing a book he wrote a few years back. It's just been reprinted, and this is, to me, by far his best book. It's called How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. The book for people with weaknesses.
And we had to reprint it because it was selling like crazy.
Yeah, we got rid of a lot of these books, and people found freedom using this material. It's made them free from sin positionally. They've recognized they can't fight with it anymore. Regardless, they can't fight with sin. It can't overcome this foe. This book has helped people realize who they are in Christ.
Emphasize what you mean by positionally.
I mean that you are free from sin because you died with Christ, according to Romans 6. It has nothing to do with your practice. And we're going to quote a verse here in Romans 6 in a minute to discuss that. Well, why wait?
Why wait? Fresh you got the scriptures
mind,
right in front
I'm
of you.
I'm going to read
you
a read passage them. Here. Paul says this, verse 18 of Romans 6, now being freed from sin... How? In Christ's death, we're going to see that, you are enslaved to righteousness. Now, it doesn't say being freed from sin because you behaved well. Now, being freed from sin, you are enslaved to righteousness. As a man, I am saying this because of the infirmity of your flesh. Notice he says you're freed from sin, and in the next verse he says you have an infirmity in the flesh.
This is the two verses that shocked me, that inspired me to write this book. You hit the heart of it right here, because it seemed like such a contradiction to what I heard all my life. I was raised in the Catholic Church, but I think this is true of most every denomination, that freedom from sin means you don't sin anymore. And so in order to be free from it, you have to stop doing it. And when I read this, Paul is declaring the Romans to be free from sin. That's why I learned from this passage that, wow, this is an objective truth. And the next verse proves it. Paul says, now being freed from sin, you're enslaved to righteousness. And then the very next verse, he says, now I'm saying this because of the infirmity in your flesh. That's what got me. Holy mackerel, the Romans were infirm in the flesh and freed from sin at the same time.
Amen.
That's the radical truth. How does that happen?
I can only say that it happens because God says it happens, and it happens because of what Christ accomplished.
That's
not
the right
what
answer.
We accomplished.
That's the right answer.
That's it. I'm going to quote to you page 20 and 21 of Martin Zender's book here, "The How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette," the book for people with weaknesses. By the way, you can get this at martinzender.com, or you can get it at our website at crossandthrone.com. It says here on page 20, I do not expect the modern religious hierarchy to care much for this book. By the way, if you listened last time, we proved that. We proved that.
Yeah.
I do not expect the modern religious hierarchy to care much for this book. You're about to get freed. Boy, you know, can you imagine a book starting off like that? I'm going to free you.
Yeah, and I'm not actually free. I'm really acquainting you with a freedom that's already been won
exactly.
for you. It's not like reading my book is going to all of a sudden free you from sin. It's going to give you the realization that you were freed 2,000 years ago.
This is a freedom that does not require patriots like John Adams
that's right.
and George Washington
that's right.
and Patrick Henry.
And I know how much you love those guys.
And it does not require it does not require patriots to rise up and go fight a battle to win their freedom. This is just the opposite.
It's already been done. It's already been fought on Calvary for 6 hours by our Lord Jesus Christ, and now we realize it.
This is a freedom you can enjoy even in slavery, physical slavery.
Yes,
you can be,
because it's objective.
You can be a slave, you can be a king, you can be a servant, you can be a house cleaner, you can be anyone on this planet, and still be freed from sin.
It's like an aura that follows you around wherever you are, an umbrella that keeps you out of the rain. Imagine having an umbrella or some kind of sheen around you constantly that makes you impervious to the weather, impervious to any disturbance whatsoever. This is what we're talking about. It's a God consciousness.
It is. I don't expect the modern religious hierarchy to care much for this book. You're about to get freed, and that scares them. It may even scare you at first. It may scare you to drop the Ten Commandments. Uh-oh.
Whoa.
It may scare you to drop the Ten Commandments. They weren't designed to produce morality anyway, but rather to drive you in helplessness to Christ. To dump the New Year's Eve resolutions and let go and trust grace. It may scare you to do that. It may scare you to drop the Ten Commandments, to drop New Year's resolutions. It may scare you to do all that and just allow grace to do its job. As I said before, I'm still quoting from your book, let go and let God. That doesn't sound like very scriptural advice, but there's a whole chapter of scripture, rarely read or understood, dedicated to explaining it. In the end, it's the only thing that works. This kind of happy walk may seem to you like hanging by your knees from a trapeze without a net. But just think how great your hair will feel swinging free like that.
Freedom!
Besides, more trapeze artists fall with nets than do those without them. Aren't the arms of Christ better than a net anyway?
That whole section there talks about props, all the props that we have in the flesh to keep our flesh going, whether it's the New Year's resolutions or the Ten Commandments. The purpose of the Ten Commandments was to show you that outside forces will not change you. This was the design of the law. We can talk about that later. We're already running out of time. Time goes fast here.
Sure does.
This is about an inward change. It's about a realization of what Christ had already done. That's why it scares people, because these props are a comfort, because you can see them, you can feel them, you have the thing saying on your refrigerator, and people are more easily trust. In fact, people like the commandments because at least that stone was something you can look at and embrace, and it really helped you also to condemn other people, because here was something you did that they can't do. Whereas what we're talking about is grace. It's an invisible force. It's an invisible force. You know, we board 10-ton aircraft without a thought. We can't see air. What are we trusting? I looked at an airplane the other day, and I thought, what if somebody like Paul, the Apostle Paul, came and saw this huge thing going across? What's holding it up? It's and yet is a substance. And this is what we're saying about grace. Grace has power. Grace is actually, it's not just some nebulous theory that we sing about in all the Christian songs. Amazing grace. It truly is amazing because it has more power to keep you right, to keep you doing the right thing than do the outward props and the outward laws.
And I'm gonna for those of you out there who are listening and you have been have torturing doubts in your lives. I knew a friend of mine who used to sit curled up in a ball because he couldn't live holy enough. He felt God was angry with him, and until he realized this truth, and then he found freedom. But for those of you who are struggling, I want you to, unless you're driving, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about something. Imagine that God, let's pretend this is true. Pretend this is true. For those of you who are struggling, pretend this. Close your eyes, unless you're driving. Think hard. Number one, God is completely happy with you. Number two, sin is no longer an issue in your life. Number three, you're completely dead to sin. Number four, heavenly places is your home. Number five, your life is full of joy and peace. Now open your eyes. Doesn't it sound like a utopian idea? But guess what? You don't have to imagine it. It's already true. Everything I just told you is true.
Do you know what hit me about that as I was closing my eyes and listening to that? This sounded like a shocking thing to me, that imagine God is happy with you. Now listen, that is so radical, because we often hear, oh, God loves you. You see that on buttons and bumper stickers, God loves you, God loves you. And it's become such a cliche that we don't even know what it means. But to hear that God is happy with you, or here's a really radical thing, God likes you, those sayings stop you in your tracks because he's actually happy with me. That seems more intense than God loves you even.
In 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul, I'm quoting from the Concordant Version, he calls the gospel or the evangel. It's the evangel of the glory of the happy God with which I was entrusted. The Apostle Paul was entrusted with an evangel, a good news of the glory of the happy God.
You don't hear that today.
He's a happy God. Why is he happy? Why is God happy? Is he happy because we've done something to make him happy?
No, he's happy because of the accomplishments of his son.
He is happy because of what his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has accomplished. God is not concerned what you and I accomplish for him. It's what the son has accomplished on our behalf.
I saw bumper stickers that said, God will return soon, and boy, is he pissed.
Yeah, figures.
Yeah, you know what? It's just like God is conciliating. He's at peace to the world now, and he is happy. And that is an accurate translation out of the Greek. People can't believe that that's actually in the scripture, but it is. He's a happy God.
He's a happy God. I want to read this to you. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, yet you of him are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God besides righteousness and holiness and deliverance. The Lord Jesus Christ is our righteousness, he is our holiness, and he is our deliverance. That looks back in the past, we're declared righteous. Presently, right now,
wow,
he is our holiness.
That's
and
awesome.
In the future, he's our deliverance. Because one day, believers, listen to this, one day he will come for us, and these mortal bodies will put on incorruptible, immortal bodies. And what is true of us now positionally will be true of us in our bodies that we will have in the future.
People look at me and I point to Christ. All those things you mentioned are accomplishments. Were his righteousness, his this, his that, it's his. People say, Martin, what kind of a person are you? I point to the Lord Jesus Christ because
yes,
now God looks at me through him. He sees me in Christ because, as you mentioned, we should probably elaborate before too long here in Romans 6 that we died with Christ.
And we will be getting to that.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff.
Romans
6 stuff to get into. Keep listening.
Yeah, stay tuned. This is Dan Sheridan with Martin Zender. Get a copy of this book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. You can get it where, Martin?
MartinZender.com.
MartinZender.com, and that is your website. You could also get it at our website. It doesn't matter where you go. It is MartinZender.com, or you can come to our website at CrossAndThrone.com, CrossAndThrone.com, or Paul'sEvangel.com. And Martin and I are here in Chicago for a conference, September 18th through the 20th. Come join us. We'd love to see you here. We'll be talking about more of this stuff at that conference, either from the message platform or from our private conversations.
And it'll be so laid back.
Yes.
It's people sitting around at a table.
At our conferences, you can bring your coffee.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Enjoy yourself. And by the way, that's the best way to do it, and it'll be a good time. We're also going to be in Amarillo, Texas, October 9th through the 11th, thanks to Todd and Dolly and the group down there. If you want to see us in your area, let us know. We'd be happy to come down. If you can make the arrangements and get people together, we'd be happy to come and herald this good news of the happy God. Until next time, again, remember, before I close, crossandthrone.com, get the Concordant Version, the Concordant Commentary, get this book by Martin Zender, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. And remember this, the closer you draw near to Christ, the less ceremonial and religious you will be. Believe God no matter what the clergy say.